I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, D-Grads alumni. I am your host, Shane Kipple, or as you would know me, Gavin Spinner-Mason.
And I'm Mike Lobel, and I play Jay Hogarth.
And here's the weird part, okay? Even though we were both on the show, doesn't mean that we actually watched it. In fact,
we missed most of it. Not just the episodes, but what it all meant.
Yeah, because we were teenagers, you know? What did we know? And also, so were you.
So we're going back to watch the show as adults, one episode at a time.
Come along for the ride with us. Okay, Mike, we are officially in season two, buddy.
Oh, dude, we made it.
We made it. We made it.
We didn't get fired.
No, we didn't. You know why? Because we are our own bosses.
That's
feels
right.
Good.
There's no one here to fire us.
But you know what's also great about doing a podcast like we are doing right now?
What's that?
It's season two, but we don't have to wait 6 months like everyone did for Degrassi to come out with season two. We're right on it, you know?
That's right. We greenlit ourselves right after season one was finished.
Damn right. And gave ourselves huge raises. It was fun.
Huge. 200%.
So this is When Doves Cry, season two, episode one. It's a two-parter. And Mike, I know you're going to talk about the title and everything, but damn, what an episode. How they elevated from season one immediately.
Yeah. Yeah, they slightly changed the recipe, but I think they just added those extra flavors and spices that they needed to add. And yeah, this is a very much a new Degrassi.
And by flavor and spice, obviously you mean Jake Epstein.
Turmeric.
Oh,
yeah. Jake Epstein is the turmeric of Degrassi now.
For sure. He burns going down, but he's good for you.
Jake, he's the new kid. Well, Craig is the new kid at Degrassi. But this episode, it's not just about being the new kid on the block. It's about, you know, what you do when somebody clearly needs help, but they are not in a safe enough position to be able to ask for it.
Or strong enough to do it.
I choked up pretty heavy in this episode.
Dude, I was reacting to it on my own here. It was very hard to take notes. I had to keep going back because I was too invested in the scene.
Getting swept up in, yeah.
There were some great episodes in season one, but this has taken the cake so far. The best episode. It feels weird saying it's my favorite episode because of the subject matter, but... Mm. Damn, it was great.
Heck yes. Well, When Doves Cry was a song by who, Shane?
I don't know. I'm intrigued. I don't know.
Let me break it to you. According to Billboard, it was the top-selling single of 1984.
Damn.
It's a big song. It was written by Prince.
I just exposed myself.
For his film, for Purple Rain, the film that he made. And on the surface, the song is about, you know, it's about relationships, like a lot of these big ballady type songs. But there's like a deeper rhetorical question. It's kind of buried in the lyrics about his relationship with his parents and specifically his father. And he's wondering in the song lyrics if he's become too much like his father, and perhaps that's the key to the riddle of why this relationship doesn't end up working out.
Oh, damn. Very appropriate. Very appropriate.
And I'm wondering too, like, this is okay. So what year did this episode come out?
2002.
So like the internet was, I mean, I guess it was searchable, but like, how are the writers? How's Aaron Martin and Jan Moore? Are they just like Googling songs at this point, or was it Netscape?
I don't know. And this is one of the reasons why we should have them on for sure. But
yeah,
they like, back then, people just retained information more, because when something meant a lot to you, you bought the album, you would read all the lyrics, you would really get behind it, and it would sink in deep and stay there, right?
And you'd listen to it 1,000 times because you only had so many albums. There was no streaming.
And Lord help you if they didn't write the lyrics. Then you actually had to go and listen to the song over and over and over and try to piece it together and hope
that
you're right.
Excuse me while I kiss this guy.
All right. So without further ado, and I know the message boards are going to pop off with me exposing myself of not knowing a Prince song. But anyway,
I'm going to embarrass myself a ton on this podcast. Don't worry.
That's tomorrow's problem. Okay. When Doves Cry, episode 201, season 2, episode 1. This came out September 29th, 2002, which was 23 years, 4 months, and 6 days ago.
But who's counting?
The writers of this episode were Jan Moore and Aaron Martin, and the director, of course, was Bruce McDonald. And it had that feel. He also got the very heavy episodes, because I'm sure Linda and Steven trusted him getting the performances and just his style of filmmaking. So obviously it had to go to Bruce. Not saying that there weren't other incredible directors on the show and more of them came up in season 2, but this one went to Bruce.
Bruce, I believe, directed Hugh Dillon. Hugh Dillon, who plays
Craig's dad, Albert.
I think they worked together, right? Because wasn't Hugh Dillon in Hardcore Logo?
I haven't seen Hardcore Logo. Everyone was talking about it when Bruce was on set. There's a very good chance. Because it's
Hugh Dillon, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So they had worked together already.
And we'll talk more about Hugh Dillon when he gets into it. I have a lot to say about him.
Yeah.
All the acting in this episode was just bang on. Everyone was great. Meeting each other blow for blow is let's talk about it. But before we do, in the box office, top 3, Sweet Home Alabama, which is extra funny to me now. The top songs were A Moment Like This by Kelly Clarkson and Dilemma by Nelly and Kelly Rowland of Destiny's Child.
Nelly and Kelly.
And the top shows were Still Friends, CSI Miami now, with David Caruso and his fantastic sunglasses. And fun fact, The Wire was on the air.
Okay, now we're getting somewhere.
That was for you, Mike. I thought of you when I wrote that down.
I appreciate
that. And now
that.
The table's set. We're in it.
Let's go.
Hopefully I can read my own writing, because like I said, it was hard to take my eyes off the screen. All right. So we open on a playground where Emma plays in the water with Angela, Joey's daughter. They're having a great time. Joey watches on, gets involved a little bit, and we see the camera effect of a shutter closing and then a black and white still. Someone is snapping photos. Who is it? We do not know, but we do know. It's our new character. It's Jake Epstein, Craig Manning. He's finally here.
Hi, Craig.
He is finally here and he makes his mark right from the get-go.
The mark that he made on me was kind of a little excessively creepy.
Yeah, he was doing his best Emma lurking impression.
It was better than Emma's lurking.
I think it was.
The camera made me feel uncomfortable.
The camera made it that much creepier. And the leather jacket trying to outdo Sean. He's trying to outdo
everyone.
And also,
we just don't know who this guy is yet.
That's right. We don't know the context. It was a great setup. And it really built in the suspense, especially with Emma and Angela, when we know what Emma went through, and Angela, this little girl in a playground, this had bad news written all over it, or maybe we just had to wait and find out. Next, we are in Craig's home. We don't even know his name yet, but we are in Craig's home, I can tell you that, where his dad sits at the dinner table. Craig walks in and dad immediately tears into Craig for being later than his 6 p.m. curfew deadline, be home by 6, whatever. Yeah. But Craig tries to smooth it over, gives an innocent little excuse, but his dad swipes his plate off the table, breaking it on the floor, berates Craig, tells him, basically, when I order you to do something, you listen. My rules are to be followed. And then he leaves the room right after telling Craig to clean it up.
To add insult to injury.
Now, Hugh Dillon is a Canadian rock legend. He is the front man of the Canadian rock band Headstones. But after Headstones, they still play shows. Hugh went on to have quite a career in television and movies, lesser in movies than television, but more recently, you would know him from roles in Yellowstone, Mayor of Kingstown. Wow. You didn't know he was in Yellowstone, or have you just not seen Yellowstone?
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, Taylor Sheridan, man. He's my bread and butter. Everything that he touches is gold.
It's incredible.
And Mayor of Kingstown, side by side with Jeremy Renner, he's exec producer on that show. It's also a Taylor Sheridan show, and he's fantastic in it. So cool to know that he was in Degrassi.
He was
so
Craig's
many
dad.
Ago.
Awesome.
But the acting chops were definitely there even back then. All right. So we roll the credits. Jake Epstein is now in there closing it all out with his camera. Okay. It's the first day of school. JT and Toby walk to school and talk about how the school has expanded, but all JT hears is he's going to have a lot more time that he gets to spend with older, hot girls.
Second year's a charm, right? If we failed at getting our always stated goal of becoming a man, then we've got a second chance now.
But was that not everyone's ultimate quest?
Yes, they made several movies about it, like American Pie, and like this kind of was that era, right?
Yeah.
Or maybe it's just that age.
It was both.
Now it's probably about kissing girls and Minecraft. I don't know. Times have changed, man.
Back then, what was it? Dungeons and Dragons? No, Rogue Spear. I don't know. There were computer
games.
I'll tell you what it is.
It's making webcam antennae that look like eyeballs.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Stick out of his backpack. Good on you, Toby. Way to throw up the totem there so everyone knows it's you. Okay. Craig pulls up to school in a sweet convertible being driven there by his dad. Everything seems to be good with them. Dad seems to be in a great mood. Very juxtaposed to when we last saw
him. Oh, yeah. Totally 180.
Which I fear is how a lot of these relationships go in real life.
Hiding in plain sight. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not just performative for, being out in public. Like it, it, in this episode, his dad was just as hot and cold at home behind closed doors, which has to be so much of an emotional mind bleep.
Yeah, I mean, I love this episode just because, like, I'm fascinated with this dynamic and fathers and sons relationship wise. But like, when you grow up in that kind of environment, I think the sort of prevailing wisdom, and I'm not a psychiatrist or psychotherapist, but it's that when things are that up and down and you never really know which way it's coming, you end up as the child learning how to manage your parent. Right? So you alter yourself to make sure that you're walking around in a certain way and trying not to trigger things.
Exactly. And we see it many times in this episode, hiding certain things, rewording certain things, staying away from topics,
putting on a smile and a brave face, trying to be light. Yeah.
And we'll get to it, but there was a really painful moment where Craig just wanted to talk about his mom for a second and just got shut down immediately. Anyway, we'll get to it.
Oh,
like I said,
God.
So chills. As Craig enters the school for the first time, Emma and Manny walking behind him gawk. They are very happy with the new arrival and they high five with boxing gloves on.
Okay. Boxing glove fist bump. That's right, how you know it's a Bruce McDonald.
Yeah, that's how you know it's a Bruce McDonald.
And he carries it through into the next scene with them walking in the hallway. And it's kind of like there's character there, right? There's, I had this whole story in my head. I don't know about you, but it was like, yeah, this is like Manny's gonna, she's like, I'm gonna get ripped this year. I'm gonna learn how to fight. I'm gonna learn how to hit. And I'm just like, this is it. I'm boxing this year.
Yeah.
His character is great. It goes to show you how like a little, like even a prop or wardrobe can tell you something about a character that can give you the backstory.
Yeah, and it just adds realism to the universe that you create, right? Like someone walking with a drink in their hand, someone with something random. Like it just makes the world feel full. Yeah,
an explosion in the garage before Toby and JT walk out, if you will.
Not everything has to make sense, kids. In class, a suddenly skinny spinner. I lost some weight. And Jimmy.
Yeah, dude, you look great.
Thanks, man.
And I got to say, I'm like, I think Frosted Tips is my favorite spinner haircut.
they're not really, were they? They're about to get a lot more frosted. just wait. Anyway, so Spinner and Jimmy loiter in the back of the class and just observe the pandemonium of kids on top of kids on top of kids trying to pile into these now too small classrooms. And they're complaining about being back at school as well. They do not share the sentiment of JT and Toby seizing the opportunity for new girls. Anyway, everyone has their own priorities. Sean passes by and Jimmy tries to get a rise out of him right away. Day one, did not learn his lesson. There is a stare down, but before anything can spill over to blows, clumsy Craig bumps into Sean, breaking that tension. And after Sean reprimands Craig for, you know, not being careful in the hallways, Craig, with that charm, gets Sean to escort him over to the media immersion lab as he does not know
the
way.
This is the subtlety. This is the freaking subtlety of the, I'm sorry. This episode is brilliant. The writing is incredible. It's on another level. You realize the way Craig diffuses Sean is exactly the way that he has to manage his dad. That's why he gets his Sean to back down and
he
to
gets everyone
him.
Cool. Yes, he can really talk people back from the ledge. Just okay, no, we're good.
Because
he's dealing
with like a sleeping dragon at home.
Damn.
I'm telling you, it's so subtle, but every beat like that is so purposeful.
And Jake's performance, obviously, you can't take away from it.
I can't even believe I acted on the show with Jake. I was like, wow, I did not get the memo. I needed to do a little bit more homework. If this guy's on the show, okay, cool. Yeah.
What a talent he is. Anyway, we can gush over him in person when he shows up here.
Sweet.
Sean takes Craig on a mini school tour to the Media Immersion Lab. And all the while, there's a constant stream of girls catcalling Craig.
Yeah.
Good for him. Good for him. And Jimmy is obviously still fired up. He can't let bygones be bygones.
Looking at Jimmy's face, at that point, I wouldn't want to cross him in a rap battle.
Now we're in Kwan's class, and Miss Kwan explains to everyone and us that Degrassi absorbed a nearby closed down school, and things will be a little crowded until everything is sorted out. Sean walks in like a moment late and immediately gets a see me after class. But he does not seem to be fazed by this because all his attention is on Emma as he sits down next to her and tries to meet her eyes. But she looks straight ahead, deliberately not looking over at him. She is not over it.
We are all carrying the baggage of last season into this pilot. Or into the season opener.
Ashley and her crazy parties. Okay, now we're in Simpsons, and he is also talking about the merged schools, and then wakes up a napping Craig to the laughs of everyone in the class when Craig explains himself and makes light of it, once again, playing into his character.
Okay, so Craig came in with this double cohort of schools that are coming together.
Right.
He doesn't really know anybody. Where's the sort of, like, you would expect the scene where people are introducing themselves. Hey, I'm Craig. I'm from this other school. But Snake kind of seems to already know who he is. It just feels very comfortable very quickly.
Okay, well, so Craig obviously knows some people. He might be a little bit of a loner. We don't know. Like, he seems to be good with people, but he might opt to be alone. We know how he spends his time, his free time. He's just kind of taking pictures of things and enjoying, I guess, the peace and quiet before he has to go home. And we don't know yet, but we will know soon why Simpson knows him. It's going to be through Joe.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That is true.
Right. Right. So there's a lot shown to us, and then they fill in the pieces later for us.
And I like that. They trust the audience. We're presented with information, and we're building all these questions. Who's Craig? How is he even related to Angela, to Joey? Mm-hmm. He's related to Angela, obviously, but
we don't know that
yet. Different.
We don't know. No.
There's a lot of trust there, and I like that because we, as the audience, we get to put it all together slowly.
Yes. Yeah. It's like it's not a murder mystery, but it's a mystery of sorts where everyone has who is this guy? What's he doing? What's his relationship here? But we'll get to that scene. Listen, I told you, it's going to be hard to get through this episode beat by beat. Okay. JT and Toby volunteer to share a locker and then immediately start debating who gets what section. JT wins by saying he's the taller one, so he gets the top. Emma warns them that this will strain their friendship. Will it? Time will tell. That kind of got forgotten.
Yeah.
Paige storms through the hall with Terry and Hazel, complaining that she is sporting a mullet, and then refers to two conveniently placed mullet. I remember them.
If I was in my real life, I would be the mullet crew for sure.
Right.
I saw those dudes. I was like, yeah, those are my people.
I have never sported a mullet in my life. But I saw a post long time ago saying that one day people with long beards and man buns are going to wake up to see that that was the mullet of the 2010s.
Oh my God. That's so true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang. Yep. It's a good thing I only approached it for like a second. There's a picture of Jake Goldsby and me and maybe Cassie and my brother, and we're all at the Pixies concert. And I have the little top knot with the long hair and the
I thought you were telling us your mullet story, but you've done them both. Great.
Yeah, great. And I had a rat tail one. We're not getting into that.
Rat tail too. Oh,
of course,
boy.
Man.
I used to think they were 80s. So cool, but the trendiest my parents ever let me get was a mushroom cut, and I had to fight for it.
You are not getting a mushroom cut, Shaney Wainey.
Yeah. My mom is definitely from Brooklyn. Brooklyn Jew.
Totes.
Okay. So Paige does not want to have a mullet yet. She cannot afford a haircut right now because she has spent her money elsewhere. Craig from the sidelines comments and has not felt the wrath of Paige yet, but he did now. And he'll probably think twice before inserting himself into Paige's conversations in the future, unless he's invited in, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ashley then enters, tries to talk to them, saying that she was trying to get in touch throughout the summer, but also to no avail. They are still pissed about Ashley's party. Terry stays back and tries to reassure her they just need more time. It will be okay. Ashley is not so sure. Now, Angela plays in her daycare, and Craig is there taking pictures again. Now, we still don't know what's going on here.
What is with this guy?
Right, right. But this time, Angela sees him, and instead of being scared or just disregarding it, she runs up to him excitedly and calls him by name, Craig.
Yeah.
And we find out that they know each other. We still don't know why, but they know each other, and they're close, obviously. Craig, after catching up with Angela for a little bit, and is pretty cryptic about the things that he tells her, finishes off by saying, please don't tell your dad, Joey, that I was here. So he obviously knows Joey as well.
This scene, I mean, we swing pretty wildly from what feels like threatening Craig to very endearing as soon as Angela comes over. And just the way he's showing her the camera and he has her hold it to take a picture. When I just seen Jake performing in that moment, it's so, there's so much longing and emotion and sweetness and care on his face. I don't know. He's great.
Yeah. It was also very heartbreaking that he's, and now we
behind
understand
the fence.
That the reason, and the symbolism being behind the fence, but also that he has to be afraid. He has to watch this girl that obviously he has a relationship with from afar because he's shouldn't be seeing her. And maybe he doesn't want to upset her. I don't know, but very sweet that he's keeping tabs on her. Then when he leaves, the teacher or caregiver comes over to ask Angela who that was, and then she tells us, that was my brother.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
So, even more heartbreaking, that's his younger sister.
Nice reveal.
That's his younger sister. Yep. We don't know full half step, but we do know that they have shared a lot of time together, obviously. That's my brother. Man.
Yeah, dude.
This episode. Okay.
Gets me.
I know. We're back with JT and Toby. They stay a little late in the media immersion lab for Toby to show off his beta version of Facebook.
I was going to say, Snake doesn't realize he's got like a Mark Zuckerberg in his class. Hey,
that's never going to catch on, man. What are you doing? Don't waste your time
It's funny how dismissive he is of this incredible technology that we all take for granted like 15 years later.
Yeah, yeah. But this program is actually a dating system that uses real life statistics to try to give JT probabilities in his selections to make his courting process easier. Toby, as an example, picks Terry for JT, but JT has his sights set higher. Root has his sights set higher, and he picks Paige, even though there is only a 0.03% chance of success.
You got to give it to JT, though. He like really, you know, shoot for the stars, land on the
moon. Know. But Toby, man, he should be a billionaire. How funny would it have been if they left and then Simpson like goes in and is like, what is this? And then he steals the software.
Yeah, like the Back to the Future moment with the almanac.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He finds the almanac and the DeLorean.
Okay. Now, Joey and Angela go to the cemetery to visit Julia, Joey's late wife, Angela's mom. And while they're having a kid's version of an existential talk about heaven and if Julia would be in heaven, Angela accidentally tips Joey off that she saw Craig. And Joey immediately questions Angela about it. He seems, I don't really know what he's thinking yet. Is there a reason why Craig should not be? He doesn't seem angry.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem upset.
He's cautious.
But he's cautious and concerned over how this might have happened, it seems.
Yeah.
And then Joey looks around and spots, once again, a lurking Craig.
Oh, my God.
At the edge of the cemetery behind a headstone.
Ooh, what is that
headstones.
Man doing?
Headstones.
Yo, this is its inception.
It's an episode within an episode within an episode. Yeah. All right. There's no question that Joey sees Craig. They make
eye
contact.
There's no question that anyone sees Craig. He is right out there.
Yeah, he's no Jason Bourne. But he gets up and he bolts. He sprints off without a word. Looks like he's terrified. We are now with Craig in his dark room at home, we assume. He's developing his pictures that he took of Angela and Joey at the cemetery. And once again, in a heartbreaking turn, when we look closely at the photos, he's photoshopped himself into it to make it look like they are one big happy family.
And this is where I'm starting to realize Craig has got demons. Like he's not in a great frame of mind.
No. And he gets called for dinner by his dad and hurriedly takes down the hanging pics in a way that makes us think that if his dad saw this, he would lose it.
Oh yeah.
Now Craig is at dinner with his dad and they are marveling over the spread of all Craig's favorite dishes. There's even Yorkshire pudding in there, which is fantastic. It takes a long time to make. And then Craig makes a comment about how his mom used to prepare the roast beef. And immediately, Albert, Craig's dad, makes a face of, do not bring your mother's name up here, ever.
Mm-hmm.
Which is horrible. My heart, I'm going to say heartbreaking over and over and over, but like,
yeah,
you know, if Craig's mom died and he can't even keep her memory alive with dad. No, not just like I it's too painful to talk about her. It's like under threat of punishment, violence. Like terrible, man. Terrible.
Yeah. No, truly.
So Albert makes it perfectly clear that Craig is not to speak her name. He then brings up the fact that he got a message from Joey Jeremiah. And Craig immediately is uncomfortable with this, and the reason is we find out that Julia left Craig's dad for Joey, and now Craig has to assure and reassure Albert that he's not going to leave his dad like mom did.
He's terrified of that.
And that seems to do the trick, at least for the moment. Now it's new day at school. JT shoots his first shot with Paige and gets shut down hard. Look, it's gross and grosser. That's really, before you even get a word out, if you're labeled, am I gross or grosser? I don't even know.
The girls put down JT and Toby a lot.
JT gets shut down hard. Toby quite enjoys the show. And for some reason, JT is not in any way discouraged. He will live to fight another day.
He's got a healthy constitution. He's like pretty confident, you know, in spite of the reality.
Yeah, it's not like a Sean that's just going to get down on himself and spiral.
Also, here's a Bruceism. What is with this eyeball cam that Toby is like pulling out? It's like his spy cam, but it's clearly just a webcam that he painted veins, like eyeball veins on. So strange.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Wow.
It's deep background, more attention.
I have to admit, man, just because I was so invested in the A-plot, I was just waiting for with no offense to any of the people involved in the B-plot, including myself, I just wanted to get back to Craig's story the whole time. I was just waiting.
I hear you, man, but like I think we needed that levity. Because the Craig story, just a little moment to lift, a little humor. And also kind of just to point out, like, you know, all of our problems as teenagers, they kind of fall on a spectrum, you know, they're all relative.
Mm-hmm. Now, in Quan's class, which is in the gym for some reason, it seems like she has everyone doing a team building exercise, sharing things that they would like people to know about them to, I guess, integrate.
It's like a drama. It's like drama club or something. They're all in costumes.
Yeah. Ashley's share sounds like it's an AA meeting, which I thought it was at the beginning. I thought that maybe because of what she did at her party.
She's in AA now. Yeah. It would be NA. It would be Narcotics Anonymous.
I really did think that when she sat down, it was going to be a circle of people and someone.
It's a classic trope. And I think they were intentionally playing on that.
Yeah. Then Craig gets up and, you know, tries to keep it light, joke around, and then he gets very dark and existential, almost nihilistic, and then he masks it with humor again.
Yeah.
Once again.
And this scene exists to show you exactly
how he feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you don't put a scene in the show that doesn't that doesn't tell you something new. And no plot is revealed here. This is all just his point of view.
Yeah, when he actually is forced to talk and put on the spot and talk about himself.
It's dark.
That's where he is. That's where he is. Yep. And then when he sits down, Heather Sinclair gets called up. And I desperately wanted to hear her talk about herself. But we do not get that lucky today.
Nope.
Now we are in the media immersion lab. Emma and Manny are daydreaming about Craig. And then, lo and behold, Craig walks in. The girls try to hide themselves behind their notebooks, but Craig is smarter than that. And he walks over fully knowing what they're doing and reintroduces himself to Emma.
The awkwardness in that just very specific way is, I've never seen that. He's so good. This was the scene I was like, damn.
But Miriam and Cassie were great in this too. Emma's surprise, oh, I know you, but still being attracted to him and all that. And Cassie just gawking at him to his face.
And that really is, that does become Manny. You see the blueprint of Manny in this scene.
Yeah.
Because I know now where she's going.
It was just like, could this be going any better? Emma, you already know him. He came to you. Are you kidding? This is great.
Emma, she's gained a whole lot of confidence. She comes right out and I'm sure we'll get to that.
But she already knows him, right? So
she asks him out. The Emma of last season would never have been able to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
In the beginning, she would have been... Yeah, she's going out. Yeah,
she's on the prowl. You know, she's a single lady.
I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
By the way, I meant to say about Craig's speech in the scene before. Mm-hmm. I can almost guarantee, and I'm wondering if you felt this way
audition
as well.
Scene.
Yeah, 100%.
Dude, I had the 100%. Same exact thought. I was like, this is the audition scene.
Audition monologue.
100%.
For sure.
Yep.
Yeah. Cool.
Same page.
Mm-hmm. Emma invites Craig to the party that her mom is throwing that night, and Craig accepts. He walks away. The girls squeal, as they should.
Do they
so
ever.
Dreamy. Now, we're with Joey. He's at work selling a car, and Craig's dad, who we in this scene find out is named Albert, pulls up, and he is returning Joey's message in person.
Mm-hmm.
That's a move. That's a power move.
I think we all know how this is maybe going to go.
It's very tense. But in this, Joey tries to get Albert to see the importance of Angela and Craig still being able to see each other. And he tries a couple different tactics, and Albert is just stonewalling him at every turn. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want to hear it. It's not going to happen. Won't even consider it. Joey tells Albert that Craig's already been seeing Angela on his own time. They need to be able to see each other.
Mm-hmm.
Albert clocks this, doesn't really react though, and peels out while Joey is still talking to him.
I think Joey handled this really well. He's like a real professional grown up handling somebody so hot-headed and clearly emotionally charged. I think he did an amazing job. And I recognize Pat in it so much too. Like, I feel like when we talk to Pat and things are going a different way that we want, he can be that, like, that's Pat dad. Yeah. He's really good with difficult conversations. He knows he always knows what to say.
I love watching Pat now that we know him so much better. Like, I love watching him in these episodes, man. It's so cool.
It's awesome.
And Jake and Lauren and all of them, all of our friends as adults now watching the beginning stages of all this.
It's delightful. It really
it's all
is.
The feels. It's all the feels. Yeah. It really is. We're back with JT. He shoots another shot with Paige. This time she's walking with Spinner and Hazel in the alley.
The Dot Grill is a convenience store.
At that time. Yes.
At that time.
Until Spinner needs to work somewhere, and then magically it's
the convenience store becomes a grill.
Uh-huh.
Also, there was like that amazing Toronto, City Toronto transition there. It was like the streetcar coming through. And
I know. Always the streetcars. This time when JT shoots his shot, he just gets laughed at. They don't even respond to him. And as they walk off, someone calls JT a knob. I don't know who.
Who might could have that have been?
Yeah. It seems like something I would say. But JT, tenacious. He's not going anywhere. You know, like, okay, just got to, pull myself up by the bootstraps and try again tomorrow.
He's an inspiration.
Now, Spinner and Hazel have an idea that Paige should just go out with JT. How bad could it be? It would be hilarious. And to sweeten the deal, we will incentivize you. We will pay you $30 to do it, and that will cover your haircut that you so desperately need. And Paige bites at this, but she has conditions, even though I don't think we heard what any of the conditions were, but we just know that she had them.
Well, obviously, the conditions are that she is...
will not sleep with him.
In disguise, completely.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Now we are at Spike's party. It's in full swing. Spike, Snake, and Yik, Celix, Sace, and Assy.
I know. Yay, all the classic cast are here for Spike's birthday. So heartwarming. It made me tear up. And then I saw Celix, and I was like, oh, this is so sweet.
Celix is a dear friend, played Yik Yu on the classic Degrassi. He and Pat are best friends to this day. Celix was one of my favorite parts of showing up to work because even though he was cast on the original show, he was working on the production team of the film team of our generation.
Assistant director
number three. His job was taking care of us crazy kids, and man, we could piss that guy off.
Boy, oh boy. Poor Celix.
Yeah, poor Celix, but we love him, and I can't wait to see him again. Okay, so we see all the classic people at Spike's party, and Craig is playing with Angela, Emma, and Manny.
This is so risky.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And this is how they're building the tension. This is feeling very tenuous.
We still don't know why Joey reacted that way with Craig. We still don't know how Joey feels about Craig. We still have questions.
Yeah.
But Joey arrives, as we knew he would, and Craig maneuvers through the crowd and tries to hide behind people, once again doing a terrible job. For everything that Craig is and Jake is, a good hide-and-seek guy, he is not.
He's not good at hiding.
He is not.
He's like spaghetti. Did you remember Spaghetti?
I do.
Tim and Eric?
Spaghetti.
But this time, Joey gives him an awkward hello in front of the group and then asks if he could talk to him. We find out that Joey would love for Craig to be around more. It's great to see him. Unfortunately, your dad doesn't want you near me or Angela, and kind of have to respect that. And then Craig finds out that Joey spoke with Albert. Craig was both angry and looked a little frightened that Joey had told Albert, had spoken to him at all, wondering what they had talked about because Craig couldn't be there to kind of mitigate. But at the end of it, Craig leaves and he guilt trips Joey. I guess he's feeling betrayed by him as well, but it's unspoken, right? It's like if only you knew what I can't tell you, but you're setting me back into the lion's den right now.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Joey didn't feel great about it, but I mean, as the audience, obviously we know that he couldn't have been more wrong in sending Craig home, but as a character, as a father, I mean, you have to respect your dad came and told me he's not comfortable with this.
Yeah.
Joey doesn't know what's going on behind closed doors.
No,
so
there's boundaries. He's just trying to, he's trying to do the right
thing.
Be a
good person. Yeah, he's trying to be. Yeah, exactly. We leave that scene with Emma trying to piece together exactly what's going on there. She was obviously bothered by that interaction. Now, Craig stands outside his house, seems to be stalling before he goes in. He's not out there smelling roses. Craig enters to see his dad sitting silently at the kitchen table in a very, it's almost like a horror movie. Like the air was sucked from the room.
There was a lot of scenes in this episode that were built in a suspense horror type genre around his dad.
And it was totally silent. Craig comes in, doesn't say a word, looking kind of from room to room, listening for where his dad may be. And then you find him in the kitchen, just sitting at the table with nothing in front of him, looking down straight ahead.
Which is, that's the worst thing.
Yeah.
Right?
And then,
'cause it's unpredictable.
And then sheepishly, I'm just going to go down to my dark room. I think Craig already, he knew that something was coming. He knew. Mm-hmm. So he just wanted to take himself away from it. It will come when it comes, which is also horrible. Yeah, yeah, but I'm just going to
be in his space. Yeah, he loves photography. And
I'm going to leave Dad alone right now. He doesn't want to be talked to. But right before he exits frame, or right after he exits, Albert turns his head.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Craig then goes into, I don't even need my notes for this. Craig then goes into the dark room and we see right away that it's been destroyed.
Yeah.
There's stuff all over the floor, broken things all over the shelves. Craig reacts to this and we see in the background, Albert is storming down the stairs and he has a photo album in his hand that says, what does it say? My happy family?
My happy family.
My happy
family. My happy family.
And he gets in Craig's face with the album. What's all this about? What's all this about? With a smile on his face, but getting right in Craig's face. And then he hits him with the album. I got shivers right now. Hits him with the album, throws him down to the floor, kicks him repeatedly, and then breaks more stuff. While telling Craig about all the things that he does for him.
Yeah.
And then when he finally stops and he leaves, we are left with Craig scared and beaten on the floor, looking at his broken camera.
Yeah.
And we freeze. Jake's reaction, Craig's reaction, but Jake's, when his dad really started moving in on him and like his hands were up and he's just like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like it was so much fear. And it almost made me think that his dad is getting worse with this stuff, that maybe his dad didn't get this bad before. And Craig was never
level.
As scared. Yes. Never as scared as of him. He maybe never crossed the line into like pushing him up against something and almost choking him because that reaction that like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Like, I've never had that in my life. I've never had, I mean, I have older brothers, that could have beaten the shit out of me if they wanted to, but I was a fair bit younger, so it really wouldn't have been good. And I had two loving parents who did not love each other, but they loved me very much. I had a very normal family existence for the most part. But I never, I can't even imagine what that would feel like for a parent to get into your face and just start beating the shit out of you. It's terrifying.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Sorry. This episode makes me, I mean, I didn't have the same experience as Craig, and like you know, I was never physically beaten, but I know what it's like to have a parent that has, that can go to where it feels like you're walking on eggshells and you're not entirely sure what's going to trigger them. And then they can go from like 1 to 100 and be incredibly scary. Like, it's like change, like the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde kind of thing. So yeah, this episode, I was like, even watching it again, I just thought like, damn, how am I going to do this episode? Like, this is getting a little too close for comfort, to me personally. And I love my parents, you know, I love my dad and but we've gone through it. Like, we've had some tough times. And we're sorting through a lot of that right now. We're unpacking it. But it was like, it's the unpredictability that I recognize that. And I know it's created a hypervigilance in me where I'm also looking and managing other people's expectations and trying to manage their moods because I'm afraid of how they might react. And I carry that still with me into my adult life. It's kind of crazy, but it's like, it's managing danger when, you know, fear shows up as compliance and trying to do and behave a certain way. And that's like Craig, like he's not anxious. He's adapting to the situation. And it's crazy. So it's like the question, I guess, is like, why do the kids who are suffering the most often look like they're coping the best? You know, like in school,
they develop the sense of humor, man.
Yes. 100% yes. The sense of humor is a cope.
Yeah. But it works, sure. Right? And that, like the you know, over the top life of the party, the one that lights up every room, a lot of the times are the ones that are suffering in silence. A lot of the time. Not all the time, but a lot of the time.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
I agree. The ones that would much rather talk about other people than themselves, and whenever it's about them, just kind of deflect and quickly change the topic.
Make a joke.
And
plus it's nice to make people laugh.
There were lots of
little laughter.
Yeah. There were many messed up things about my family. The violence towards me was not one of them. But as you can tell from my sense of humor, I've had to manage tempers and clashes quite a bit too. But I'm not going to take away from your story, and I'm not going to take away from the episode. I'm sure
the more the merrier.
Well, we have a part two, man. We have a part two.
Oh my God, I just can't. Yeah. I can't.
And that one's yours to recap too.
Oh,
so.
Geez.
Pony up, but we will have a friend with us for that one. So maybe he'll share some of the weight and take it off of your shoulders. Can't be Atlas just carrying that globe around endlessly, you know?
totally.
Okay, Mike, how about we get to some comments?
Somebody in the, some Degrassi Fault posted on the Discord that picture of you and Britney Spears with her I Love Punk t-shirt.
You mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that one.
This picture?
Yeah, that one. Somehow they found that. I guess they peeped that on the Patreon and saw it was behind you. Can you account for that?
Yeah, I can account for that. When I was 14, like 6 months before starting the filming of Degrassi, it was a really good year, I won a Much Music contest to go see Britney Spears in Rio de Janeiro for 7 days.
Duck.
And it was all filmed. So there was a meet and greet with Britney. Her second album had just come out. Actually, the question that I had to answer for the contest was, what was the name of her second single off the Oops, I Did It Again album? Which, for anyone that knows, like I do and did, it's Stronger.
That's a contest-winning answer.
Damn right it is.
You guys could have been a thing.
I got the worst sunburn of my life because it was January, their summer.
That's right.
We knew that, but their summer was really hot. And
that's why it looks like a picture. Yeah, it looks like a picture of Britney Spears and a tomato.
Can you see the burn on my forehead? Man, you don't know how much makeup I had to put on just to look that ridiculous.
There's makeup on you in that picture?
Yes, because the contest winners that we were there with that won the same thing except to see NSYNC that were also playing Rock in Rio, one of them was a makeup artist and she took pity on me.
What is this kid doing?
Well, we were all hanging out together, and it was supposed to be one of the greatest moments of my life, and then all I could think about was now, like, Britney is probably going to shudder when she turns and sees me. Anyway.
People were, like, giving us props on our musical taste, which, thank you. We really appreciate that. And I got a little goofy, and so Degrassi Vault says, so Mike says Celine Dion, Shane says I'll Run With It, and he literally has this framed picture behind him. I'm throwing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the time. It was that time of our lives. Kimmy W., I really appreciate the shout out. I laughed out loud with Woody Guthrie. Woody Guthrie, mm-hmm. I brought up Woody Guthrie. So yeah, I appreciate that. It was a deep cut. I'm glad somebody got that. Andrea Testarose says, were any storylines changed or added to align with the character rather than with the actor rather than the character? Like how shows will usually make a pregnancy storyline if the actress is pregnant in real life, or strong chemistry between actors that influences on-screen relationships. An actor refuses a storyline for some reason, etc. Well, obviously you didn't see my pregnancy arc when Jay Hogarth.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I know that influenced my character was at the beginning of season two when we had our orientation and they asked everybody who played instruments because they were thinking of having a school band. And I play drums. Jake Epstein was like, I sing and play guitar. And everyone else was like, nah. And
tambourines for everybody else.
And they're like, those are the important ones anyway. We'll fake the rest.
So they just asked literally, they were like, who plays instruments? And you guys just kind of put up your hands and like, great, you're a band now.
Yep. Jake was in a band at that point called Mind the Gap.
Yes.
Yeah. And I can't remember if I was actually in a band at that point. I definitely was, but I can't remember the name of it. Two Left Feet?
Left Foot Yellow?
No, that was later. Two Left Feet.
Wait, did you only have band names that were foot references?
No.
Is there something going on here? Are you?
No.
Is there like a little fetish thing happening?
No.
You seem a little defensive.
Absolutely no foot fetish, okay? And that being said, I got no problem with feet either, but there's no fetish. There's no obsession with feet. I'll put your foot in my mouth.
The stinkier, the better.
I won't think about it later. Yeah, stinkier, the better.
Well, I think Shane's answered for the both of us. I mean, I don't really have anything. No, I got nothing. I can't beat that. But thank you so much, Andrea Testarose, for that question.
All right, Mike, we made it.
That's all we got. Yeah, we made it, buddy. Season two.
Season two. Yay. All right.
Let's go.
So that was the first two-parter, and what a season premiere that was. Great to have Jake Epstein part of the cast at this point. Great that Joey is back, Pat Mastroianni, because he definitely becomes quite an important character, especially in Craig's storyline. And having Hugh Dillon in this one, just a great episode all around. And yeah, just very happy that we're back and we're officially in season two, where things are, getting darker. The stakes have been raised.
That's right. We love when you guys send us questions. If you want to send us questions through email, hit us up at dgradspodcast@gmail.com. We also have a Patreon, Dgrads Alumni. You will get all of these podcast episodes in video format early on our Patreon, and we also do a Q&A video. We like a lot of engagement there, so come hang out and join the Patreon party. And also, we are on Discord. Please join our Dgrads Alumni account and keep the conversation alive. There's about 900 people on there now so far. It's pretty
crazy.
Awesome. Yeah,
crazy.
We're building a little village.
That's and it takes a village. Mike, this has been a slice. Can't wait for part two with our special guest. This has been another episode of the D-Grads podcast with your hosts, Shane Kippel and Michael Bell. And we will see you for part two next week. Ciao.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.